No matter how much you plan something, life just seems to have a way most of the time to do what it wants. Sometimes maybe it'll go down the path that you foresaw in your mind, but I don't know, it feels like more times than not you're in for some interesting surprises, especially when you overplan things. Like a ghost tour, for example. You go out, think, oh, this will be kind of neat. Maybe they'll tell some spooky stories. What you don't necessarily plan for is things following you back home, like we hear about in our first story. And a person, you know, sometimes just does not expect that, you know, they see those people on TV that seem to be able to predict things and seem to be sensitive to things. But what is this sense that I've had my whole life? Am I sensitive as well? Sometimes you make that realization and go, wow, wasn't planning for that. And once that's on, good luck turning it off. We hear about that in our second story today on EPP bonus episode number 380 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Gone on a ghost tour? They can be interesting. They can be cheesy. They can be exciting. They can be scary. They can be boring. You never know what you're getting. You know, sometimes it's like, well, let's see what we get. Sometimes when you're on those ghost tours, things will happen. Sometimes, depending where you're at, tour guides may kind of stage some things and set them up to be spookier than they really are. Or tell you to do things where it looks like you're getting orbs on your camera and it's really just a light refraction. All sorts of gimmicks that are out there. But sometimes on these tours, real paranormal events occur. Things that can't be explained. And sometimes it's not evident to the whole group. Sometimes it's just occurring to one individual person. Sometimes you don't even realize it till after the fact. That's what happens in our next story as a couple goes on a ghost tour in Salt Lake City, Utah. What they experience both during and after may surprise you. Take a listen. I am fairly sensitive. From a young age, it seems I was somewhat attuned and attracted to the paranormal. And it doesn't help that I go looking for paranormal encounters such as TV shows, podcasts, and much more recently, ghost tours and paranormal investigations. Back in May of 2021, my fiancé and I had arranged to go on a ghost tour of outer reaches of Salt Lake City, Utah, which is near where we live. I used to have this company before for a different tour with my aunt and uncle, as well as a paranormal investigation for my birthday that I may write about at a different date. It started with everyone meeting up at the bus stop on the west side of the Mormon temple. Once everyone was accounted for, our tour guide introduced herself, went through the itinerary of the stops we were going to that night, and started to explain how the several K2 meters that they were going to be passing around at the locations worked. Once she went through all of that and safety precautions, we were off. And the tour began. Our first stop was to the second mansion built in Utah called the McCune Mansion, which was finished in 1901 by Alfred McCune, who is said to be one of the spirits seen there. Before the tour guide even began the tour, she began recounting the history as well as ghost stories about the mansion. I felt like there was someone I couldn't see walking back and forth on the terrace garden. So it was no surprise when she told us that the young 10-year-old spirit of Alfred's daughter had been seen peeking out of a window and walking the beautiful gardens. As the guide was telling her story, I also captured on my camera a series of orbs streaking across the front of the house. After that, we moved on to the Masonic Temple, which felt creepy, but more in the sense of this is a weird build that's supposed to make you feel creepy kind of way. And I also didn't get any photographic evidence from there either. After that, we went to one of the first neighborhoods of Salt Lake to see the Kissing Tree Monument, which had one of those cheesy urban legends attached to it. One about how a young woman died in a car crash there and several years later went to a school dance date with a young man who dropped her off at the same spot. After kissing her, he lent her his jacket, and for the rest of her walk home, later that night he realized he'd never gotten his jacket back. So he returned the next day to find where she lived, and someone tells him she died years ago, and he could find her at the cemetery. Follows the instructions and finds his jacket nicely folded on her gravesite, almost like the spirit was returning it to him. Our next stop was the worst one for me. We traveled through Fort Douglas, which was established in 1862, where we then stopped and got out of the bus at the gates of its cemetery. The tour group was allowed to go right up to the fence or the open gate, but we were not permitted to go past the gate and properly into the cemetery. The second I stepped off the bus, I felt an overwhelming dark weight, like I should not turn my back on the graveyard. When we got off the bus, we were directed by the guide to go by the gates, where she would tell her stories. As I was walking up with the rest of the group, having this oppressive feeling, I started taking pictures and got a series of three where you can see an orb shooting out and around of a tree. Even my fiancé had felt unsettled at the energy of the place, and he isn't very sensitive to paranormal at all. After telling him of how I was feeling, that I didn't want to turn my back on the cemetery, he began walking closer and slightly behind me in order to settle some of my nerves. Once we had all gathered around the tour bus, the guide began with the history and the most well-known ghost stories of the cemetery, including photographic evidence of what appears to be the misty image of a soldier on horseback. She came to the part about the 1940s during World War II, how a section of the fort was used as a POW camp for German civilians, and an American officer went crazy and shot all the German occupants. As the guide was telling the climax of the story, a set of clock tower bells went off, creating a spooky atmosphere for the rest of her story. I love when tour guides are able to involve certain day-to-day things like this into their stories without it being a gigantic gimmick for attention. After we made it safely back to the bus, we went much further out to the edges of Salt Lake and up into a canyon, kind of near the Huckle Zoo. As we were driving out to this more secluded area, the guide began telling of the history of Utah's most infamous serial killer, Ted Bundy. She started with his biography and moved on to some of his victims. We parked a little further way up the canyon from the zoo at a park trailhead for a hiking path. We all got out of the bus, gathered several feet away from a ravine as the tour guide proceeded to tell us that 10 to 15 miles further down the road sat the property that once used to belong to Ted Bundy, and the location where he would take many of his victims. The tour at one point even had permission to go up into the property, but due to people coming back after the tours and vandalizing the buildings, the permission was revoked. But stopping near this ravine was still important due to the fact that it was the reason why one of his victims, Rhonda Stapley, survived. Apparently, Bundy had taken Stapley up to the canyon under the guise of running an errand before taking her home. Once a little bit past the trailhead, we parked at where Bundy had pulled off and proceeded to attack her. She was only able to get away by running into the woods, consequently tripping and falling into the fast-moving river at the bottom of the ravine, where she was able to eventually get out of and walk home. After telling us this harrowing encounter, the tour guide had us get back on the bus and told the rest of Ted's story, including his arrest and conviction, before ending the tour back in the city. Once my fiancé and I returned home, it was quite late and we immediately went to bed. I've had spirits visit me in my dreams before, or have had very vivid, almost vision-type great dreams. I believe the spirits of the locations visited in my dreams that night as well, because in my dream I went through the tour exactly as we had originally, but with added almost visuals of the spirits. At the McCoon Mansion, I saw a little girl in a white Victorian-style dress with a big white bow pulling her hair up. She was emanating a golden light as she was skipping through the gardens, stopping and waving at the group as she went. When we got to the Fort Douglas Cemetery in my dream, I could physically see a dark cloud hovering over the entire area, lined up along the inside of the fence, even in a line across where the gate was closed. It was a line, as far as I could see, going both ways, with thousands of translucent cats, dogs, and multiple animals. That is somewhat blue tinged to them, but I could clearly see different breeds of dogs, a bunch of different size of patterned cats, as well as some wild-type animals like raccoons and such. It was like they were standing guard, preventing us from entering the cemetery and preventing whatever was in there from crossing the fence to get the living group. Lastly, when we reached the trailhead, over top of the tour guide telling her story, I could hear a woman down in the ravine screaming and yelling for help, but no one was reacting to her, and everyone was just continuing to listen to the story. After walking up and telling my fiancé about these weird dreams, he drove me to work. While we were in the car, we were recounting our feelings and excitement of the tour, and I said something about the bell tower going off. Made the story even spookier, and I wondered if the guide had it timed or if we were just lucky that it coincidentally went off during that time. That's going to wrap up the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 380 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. If you would like to hear the rest of the episode and get access to all of our bonus episodes, please become a supporter of our show at ghostpodcast.com or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month will get you access to all of our episodes in their entirety. We give you those four full ones every single week. We got that fifth bonus one for you to help us stay on the air. So if you want to get access to that, including the archive of ghost stories and all of the bonus episodes, all in their entirety, all commercial free, again, check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories and give yourself the gift of ghosts this holiday season. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.